Good morning, everyone. I'm Shirley Orr, and I'm happy to be with you this morning to talk a bit about public health nursing in the context of lessons learned from the Cuban experience. I had the good fortune to be a member of the APHA delegation, made up of several APHA affiliate leaders who visited Cuba this past March. In the interest of full disclosure, I will tell you that I submitted my abstract entitled the presentation before I went on the exchange. So I had no idea who else might be coming with me, what we would see, but I knew that whatever it was, it would have great implications for public health nursing. The only thing I would do differently is, rather than call it public health nursing lessons learned from the Cuban experience, I might call it lessons learned from the Cuban experience, lessons for public health nurses and everybody else, because we came back with a vastly enriched perspective about how it is that the Cubans have managed to achieve what many have seen as the enigma about Cuba, that being the fact that they have a relatively healthy population, they enjoy great population health outcomes, and they spend a small fraction of what we do in healthcare costs. So we learned a great deal about that. I'd like to introduce you to some of my colleagues who joined me on the trip. They, too, are great resources. Not too far, the first person here you'll see, Jamie Rock. Jamie is from Louisiana. She's the current affiliate representative on the Governing Council. Pat Perkins over here. Pat Parker, I'm so sorry. Pat is the current, recently outgoing chair of the Council on Affiliates. And Jeannie Holt. Jeannie joined us. She is in New Hampshire, where she also serves as the affiliate representative to the Governing Council. Jeannie has graciously shared a document that she created. You'll see it as part of this presentation that I hope you will adopt and use it and pass it on in this. As far as speaker disclosures, I have no significant relationships to disclose other than a newfound love for the people of Cuba and an appreciation for what they've been able to achieve through collective will to improve everyone's health. APHA has a long-standing relationship with an organization known as MEDIC, and that is the basis for the sponsorship of this affiliate exchange. MEDIC stands for Medical Education Cooperative with Cuba, and this organization sponsors a number of health and medical exchanges with Cuba that have the purpose of building and improving relationships and sharing of good practices, building bridges between the people of the U.S. and the bridges of Cuba, I would also say, and helping to tear down some of the bridges or some of the walls that perhaps have been erected through some of the challenges we've faced over the years, and including some of the effects of the embargo. I'm not going to talk a great deal about the embargo. That could be a whole session into itself and a very lengthy discussion, but I think you'll understand more as we go on. This is Arnold Perkins. Arnold is an extraordinary man. He is formerly served as the health director for the County of Alameda, Oakland, California. He currently serves on the MEDIC board. He was our guide throughout the trip. He's a great photographer, and he has really led efforts in his home county, both with his role in public health at the health department and also now to build on and engage people in learning more about the lessons from Cuba and translate that into action in Alameda County. This was Yoji here with her young daughter. She was our interpreter throughout the trip, and I think we were all in awe of Yoji and could not believe how she did such a great job of continuously helping us to break down the walls and the language barriers that might have existed otherwise had she not been with us. I have several images, and I'm going to go pretty quickly, but I wanted just to share with you some of the images of Cuba. I hope you have an opportunity to visit Cuba someday or self, but if you don't, I think this will hopefully impart a little bit about the richness and the people of Cuba. These were individuals with whom we met at the School of Public Health in Cuba. Many of them are involved in the Cuban Society for Public Health, and as you know, this is an organization with whom APHA now has a formal relationship established, again, that relates to these exchanges that will hopefully continue well into the future. When you arrive in Cuba, it appears to be in many ways a country frozen in time. What we see here, this car, we love these old cars. They are everywhere. They're well-kept, well-maintained, and this is how people get around. Again, the frozen in time piece, because, again, of the embargo and restrictions on trade, you see these cars maintained perhaps far better than they would if this was a 1950s vehicle in the U.S., because people rely on these as a means for transportation. They're used for taxis, they're private vehicles, and they're everywhere. There are a few images that we took of the areas that we visited. We were only in the immediate Havana community and in some of the outlying surrounding communities. We were not out in the more rural areas to much extent. So most of the images and photos you'll see do reflect Havana. These are just some examples of the typical kinds of housing that we saw where people live in Havana. And again, this just simply, I think, captures what we've seen recently in terms of the movement forward as far as, again, tearing down some of the walls, reestablishment of diplomatic relationships between the U.S. and Cuba that recently have been led under the direction of our president, President Obama, and the leadership there in Cuba as well. So the healthcare system and the public health system, the main thing that you should know about this is that they are one. In Cuba, there are not individuals who identify as public health nurses who are not also identified as nurses who provide healthcare. Every nurse is a public health nurse. The basis for the health system in Cuba is the Cuban Constitution. The Cuban Constitution, Article 50, you'll see here, everyone in Cuba has the right to health protection and health care. The state guarantees this right. So they have not only adopted as philosophy, but also as law, equal access to health care for all individuals within the community. And that equal access extends to all holistic health concepts, dental care, mental health care, health education, medical examinations, general vaccinations, and all measures that prevent diseases within the population, both chronic and infectious. This is perhaps a bit hard to see, but basically what this illustrates is just simply a comparison between the U.S. and Cuba around a number of population health parameters as well as health care spending. What I want to point out specifically, expenditures. You'll see a variety of numbers reported. This particular reference that we use cited about $560 per year per capita on healthcare expenditures in Cuba, as compared to somewhere in the between $8,000 and $9,000 per year in the United States. So less than one-tenth of the expenditures in the U.S. is what Cuba currently spends for healthcare services. On all of the measures here, you'll see that Cuba performs as well as or significantly better than does the United States. The one exception is adults who smoke. That rate is 20% roughly in Cuba and around 15% here. They're acutely aware of this. They're working on it, but they have still a ways to go. This graphic was created by my colleague Jeannie Holt, and it basically summarizes so very nicely the Cuban healthcare system, what it looks like and how it performs. It's a pyramid. We have lots of pyramids in public health. Their pyramid, you'll see, is that the basis of their system is the neighborhood consultorio, which consists of doctor, nurse, and vector specialist teams. Basically, these consultorios serve a neighborhood of approximately 1,200 to 1,300 patients. And the doctors and nurses live in these consultorios. They see people who come to them in the consultorio. They also go out to see people in their homes. There is a classification system that's used in Cuba that looks at an individual's current health status, whether they have any risk factors for disease or currently existing disease. That risk classification serves as the basis for how often those individuals are seen by the health providers, healthcare providers. Prenatal care, obviously, is incorporated. You can see there the things that are provided are very similar to what we're familiar with here for people who have the good fortune of receiving their services, including blood tests, dental care, ultrasound, genetics counseling, nutrition counseling, as well as psychiatric counseling. Recently, it's been reported that Cuba is the first nation to eliminate mother-child HIV translation. That's a goal that still eludes us here in the U.S. In addition to that, Cuba is really at the leading edge of a lot of pharmaceutical research, and they have promising treatments for lung cancer and as well as some complications of diabetes. Unfortunately, our population, the people in the U.S., are not able to benefit from these discoveries because of some of the current remaining restrictions on transfer of goods, services, and products. This is that photo that appeared in Jeannie's slide of the neighborhood consultorio. You see a few nurses there in front of the building. And again, the nurse and doctor's living quarters are part of this building. This is a nurse out performing home visits in the community. The next rung of that pyramid, if you will, is the polyclinic. The polyclinic is the next level of healthcare access. These clinics provide a more diverse range of services, including some secondary healthcare services. This is simply a shot from this one particular polyclinic that we visited. This is the outdoor waiting area. The temperature, obviously, the weather is great, so folks can be outside where they're waiting to be seen. This photo I had to share, this is a woman we met in a polyclinic. She is part of the dental program. She's seen here washing gloves. This must happen because gloves, something that we very much take for granted, are very difficult to obtain in Cuba. In fact, on any given day, they might be forced to cancel all the procedures in the clinic or in the hospital because they have no gloves. This is the dental operatory from the polyclinic that we visited. This sign, tu servicio de salud es gratuito, pero cuesta, your health care is free, but it has a cost. And this just simply communicates to individuals using health services what the cost of the various services that they're receiving are. There's a great effort to promote individual responsibility, awareness, and ownership of health and health care services, and that's continuous. Television, continuously there are PSAs about health. There are no commercials per se as we know them, but we see a lot of advertisements that promote health and self-care. This was the mental health community mental health center that we visited. Full range of community health services are provided. There are several of these centers throughout Cuba that serve mental health needs of various populations. This was a maternity home. You see Jamie standing there that we visited, which provides in-house service and follow-up for women who are experiencing high-risk pregnancies. Carrito por la Vida. This is a mobile unit that goes out in the community providing HIV awareness and services. You'll see there just to the right of the window, sin condón, ni pensarlo. What that means is without a condom, don't even think about it. Cubans enjoy the lowest documented rate of HIV/AIDS in the Americas, both North and South America. Just a few features of health integration with community services that we saw. These are the incredible people that we met at the Casa de los Abuelos, the grandparents' home. When we arrived, we had a very, very warm welcome. You see Pat there with one of the gentlemen we met. These are homes that are offered for individuals age 60 and above who either live at home alone or whose children may be working during the day, and so therefore they would be at home alone. We see very few nursing homes in Cuba, almost non-existent, because it's very common for people to remain with their families. We also visited an urban garden. These are an effort to promote the availability of healthy foods throughout the community, as well as to provide employment and ownership for the individuals who work in this particular urban garden. The produce that's grown in the urban garden here are sold both on-site as well as distributed to stores for sale there. We visited and saw some of the work of the recreation staff, or the equivalent, what we would know as parks and recreation staff, providing wellness, physical activity programs, in this case for children with developmental disabilities, in this case for seniors, and in this case for moms with young babies. Finally, it's evident everywhere throughout Cuba the very richness of the culture. Arts, music are very well interwoven throughout all aspects of society. We visited a school. We were very impressed with the openness and ability to provide health education throughout the school system. Education about HIV is integrated very well into the school setting, which does probably certainly factor into the low rates that they enjoy. So in terms of the lessons that we learned there, I boiled it down into three things, and I think that my colleagues who visited there would also probably have some perspectives they could contribute to this as well. But the things that stood out for me are, number one, to invest in prevention. Obviously, Cuba is not a very rich country. They don't begin to have the assets that we do, but those assets that are invested in prevention very intentionally. They do that, I would say, probably to a much better extent than we do. Provide universal access to health care. The fact that the Constitution calls out as health is a basic right of all individuals, and individuals access health in the communities readily. They have the three levels of care, starting with the neighborhood consultorio. By the way, one of the features and services within the consultorio is that the doctor-nurse teams must work with their community each year to complete what? A community health assessment and health improvement plan. They've been doing this for a time. We are just now in the U.S. getting to the point of making this a priority. They've been doing it for a time. Community members identify health priorities that then they work together with their consultorio staff to achieve. And finally, the integration of public health and health, primary health care especially. As I said, every nurse is a public health nurse. They don't achieve the silos, or they don't have the silos that we have to break down in the U.S. because they never existed. They always had to work together. Resources were limited, and that may have forced that to occur, but in hindsight, looking at it backwards, you can see that there have been some tremendous benefits that have benefited everyone by this. I want to commend this slide to you, and I know Jeannie has shared it with those of us on the trip, and I'm sure she would be delighted to share it with you as well. Again, just detailing the features of the Cuban healthcare system, again, building from that foundation of prevention that starts in the neighborhood consultorio. As we said goodbye, this was our day of departure from the Casa de los Abuelos. We were just really overwhelmed with the warmth that we experienced from the people of Cuba. And we really, I would say, I was very surprised by that. You know, I really didn't know, frankly, what we would experience because our countries have had some struggles, obviously, over the years. And there was openness in talking about the impact and the effects of the embargo that had been prevalent and very real for the people of Cuba. But nonetheless, we were very, very warmly embraced, and we left there as friends. And I'll be around for questions at the end. I also brought a few resource documents from MEDIC, and I'll be happy to share these with you. MEDIC publishes a monthly journal. And MEDIC does continue to offer exchanges to Cuba. They offer these through partnership with other organizations, including, but certainly not limited to, APHA. Thank you very much. Thank you.